Hi, this is Pastor Daniel Bracken. You're listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. I hope the word encourages you and you get a touch from God that brings transformation and equips you to experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the word.
Now, here's the thing. You people in this building tonight are the wisest people. Because you've placed yourself here with your families, with the children of this house, the youth of this house. And so you're operating in wisdom just by being here. Because when you know, Dr. Morocco says that you position yourself to hear from God. You position yourself to be touched by God. And if you're at home, you haven't positioned yourself. If you leave your children at home, you haven't positioned them. So you're the smartest people on earth right now at this time. And you're never gonna let the enemy kick you off your path. We've been teaching your kids this week how to fight, how to wear that armor and how to fight the enemy, because you know, a lot of kids were never taught that. And in my generation, that was like, oh no, we don't talk about the devil. Shh, we didn't talk about him. And then they didn't learn how to fight, and the enemy beat them up, broke up their families, stole them into the kingdom of darkness. And you're wise, and we're not doing that. So I have a special cool coin tonight that I'm giving this to one of these young people that I think is already chosen. I don't see them. Are they invisible? That is coming up here and is quoting our scripture, Ephesians 6. Where, what happened? Okay, we'll move along.
No, we got it. We got it, Pastor Kelly.
Okay, we can read it.
We can read it. Come on up, Hannah Grace.
Okay, while this young person is coming, I'm going to read to you Romans 3:22, and it says, and this righteousness from God comes through faith in Christ Jesus to all who believe. We're talking about the breastplate of righteousness tonight. What is your name?
Hannah Grace.
Hannah Grace. She's going to quote Ephesians 6. Not all of it. The part about the armor.
Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes.
Very good. Everybody give her a hand clap. Here's your prize. It's nervous coming up here, isn't it? Good job. I'm proud of you. I'm proud of you. We put on the full armor of God. We have to have all of it. We can't just have part of it. We talked about the helmet of salvation. Kids, what does it protect? They all got saved. If your child wasn't saved, they accepted the Lord as their Savior. We put on the helmet. And kids, what does it protect? It protects our minds, but what about our mind? It protects our thinking. Everybody say it protects our thinking. It protects the way we think, because the enemy likes to make you think wrong. Oh, Pastor Karen didn't say hi to me. She must hate me. I'm never going back. That's a lie. That's not the truth. It's because the enemy doesn't want you to come. So on the breastplate of righteousness, we put it on. We are not righteous. The righteousness of Christ. We are righteous because of him. And the thing that it really has to protect tonight that we're talking about is our heart. And we're going to talk about our heart, because the word guard, the breastplate guards their heart. So it won't be, if they get an arrow to their heart, they're dead. And so we're going to talk about how it protects our heart tonight. It guards our heart. And so guard means to watch over in order to protect against damage or harm. I'm going to say that again. To guard your heart means to watch over in order to protect against damage or harm. And I want everybody right now to watch this video. Every age group, every person in this house, is going to help you know about your heart. Let's watch this video right now. I'm not kidding. And wait, we have to hear what it says.
They're called the Shema. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. And as for you, you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your strength. We're going to look at the fourth key word in this prayer, heart, which in Hebrew is sometimes pronounced levav, or more often in a shorter form, lev. Now, different cultures throughout history have had different conceptions of how the human body works, and this is also true of the ancient Israelite writers of the Bible. They knew that the heart was an organ in the chest that sustains life. There's mention of a heart attack in the Bible, Naval, whose heart died inside of him and he became like stone. But the biblical authors talk about the heart in many other ways that might seem strange to modern readers, and that's because these Israelites had no concept of the brain or any word for it. They imagined that all of a human's intellectual activity takes place in the heart. For example, you know with your heart in the Bible. Your heart is where you understand and make connections. In the book of Proverbs, wisdom dwells in the heart. And your heart is what you use to discern between truth and error, like Solomon did when he was king. So the heart is where you think and make sense of the world, and it's where you do more. In the Bible, the heart is where you feel emotions. You feel pain in your heart, like Hannah did when she couldn't have any children. In fact, the phrase a broken heart comes from ancient biblical Hebrew. You also experience fear in your heart. Your heart can melt or be distressed. Your heart can even be depressed. But then on the flip side, your heart is where you experience joy. In Hebrew, to be happy is to be good of heart, or to have a heart of joy. So the heart is the generator of physical life. It's also the center of your intellectual and emotional life, and there's more. In biblical Hebrew, the heart is where you make choices motivated by your desires. So David had it in his heart to build a temple for God. Your heart is where your affections are centered. They're called the desires of your heart. And if you really want something and go after it, it's like what Nathan said to David, whatever's in your heart, go and do it. So then, in the Bible, the heart is the center of all parts of human existence, as in the well-known proverb, guard your heart, because from it flows your whole life. Now, the prophet Jeremiah believed that the human heart was fundamentally broken. He said, the heart of a human is deceitful above all, irreversibly sick. Who can even understand it? He had watched a whole generation turn away from God. They started sacrificing their children as if that were a good thing. So this is why, in the imagination of the Hebrew prophets, the only hope for humanity is the total renewal of the human heart. Moses predicted that if Israel was ever going to love their God, their heart would need to be circumcised, which is a very vivid and surprising metaphor about removing evil and stubbornness from the human heart. David, after he committed murder and adultery, pleads with God to create in me a pure heart. The prophet Ezekiel hoped for a day when God would remove the heart of stone and give his people a new heart of soft flesh, which is very similar to Jeremiah's hope that God would write the commands of the Torah on the hearts of his people. And that brings us all the way back to the Shema. Every day, God's people are called to devote to God their whole body and mind, their feelings and their desires, their future and their failures. This is what it means to love the Lord your God with all of your heart.
Amen, 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 hallelujah, tells you straightforward. And before we move on, I'm going to pray right now. Lord, I pray that if we anything in our heart that is not right, if we have a heart of stone, we have a broken heart, Lord, we want to be wholehearted tonight, that you would touch each and every one of us. And before we leave this building tonight, every single person, from the youngest to the eldest, we would have our hearts in the right place. We would be wholehearted towards you. In Jesus' name, amen. I have some kids that are going to come up and help me, and as they're coming, I need you to listen. You can watch them come, but I need you to listen, because this is what happens. In the movies that you watch, and in the movies that you let your children watch, and almost every Disney movie, every Hallmark movie, they say, follow your heart. We just heard all scripture on that video about the heart. The Bible doesn't say follow your heart. So you're learning it. Your children are learning it. It's in their mind that they're supposed to follow their heart and do what their heart. We just learned that emotion is in your heart. We can't live by our emotion. Nowhere in this word does it say live by your emotion. If we live by our emotion, we wouldn't go to church. We wouldn't preach. We wouldn't tell our neighbor about the gospel. We wouldn't do any of that because we're following our heart. The Bible says to guard your heart, to not follow your heart. You have to guard it. This is the verse. It's Proverbs 4:23. If you can put it up on the screen, because this is all about tonight. Above all else, guard your heart, because everything you do flows from it. So if you are wholehearted, you are going to live for God. You're going to overcome every situation. So we're going to talk about the hearts. The first heart we're going to talk about is the soft heart. Can you hold that heart right here? You can just step over here a little bit because I like to walk a lot. This heart, I made this heart white. Thank you so much for helping me. I made this heart white. I made it soft. Because when we accept Jesus as our Savior, we have a pure heart. And the enemy wants to make sure he changes that. A pure heart is humble. It's teachable. Big deal. It prefers others. It's obedient to the Lord. It's obedient to your leaders. It believes all things because it's a pure heart. There's another heart. It's a heart of stone, and we just saw that Naval had a heart of stone. Can you give me some space too, because I just like to walk. Thank you for helping me. A heart of stone is a real thing. It can really happen to you. And it's a heart of stone is a proud heart. It's not a teachable heart. It's selfish. It's disobedient. It's blind to the truth. It's unbelieving. And then sometimes we have a broken heart. This one's really broken. It is in two pieces. And what happens in a broken heart, there's sadness. And a broken heart needs mending. But if we keep a broken heart, it hinders our life. And another heart, do you know that there's, in the King James version of the Bible, there's 833 times that it talks about your heart. I'm only saying four of them. This is a steadfast heart. And a steadfast heart is loyal, stands firm in its faith, having done all to stand. It stands. It is firm and unmovable and faithful and perseveres. And we're going to go through real quickly some people in the Bible who had a soft heart. We're going to go one person for each. Josiah. He was just 8 years old, King Josiah. It's found in 2 Kings 22. In verse 6, he repairs the temple. He says, all right, let's get a team of guys and let's go in. It's rubble. Let's clean it up. In verse 8, he finds the book of the law and he has it read. When the book of the law is read, he finds out that disaster is coming to them because they haven't been living for God. And guess what he does? Verse 19 says, the Lord says to Josiah, because your heart was responsive and you humbled yourself before the Lord, because you have torn your robes and wept in my presence, I have heard you, declares the Lord. And because his heart was soft, it changed everything for an entire nation. We have to have a soft heart. We have to let the Lord say, stop doing that. If our heart is soft, we could be teachable. Then we have the 2 Kings, we're still in Josiah 23:25, says, neither before nor after Josiah was there a king like him who turned to the Lord as he did with all his heart, with all his soul, and with all his strength. That's what he did. And then there was King Nebuchadnezzar. He had a heart of stone. Daniel 5:20 says, but when his heart became arrogant, this is what the Bible says. When his heart became arrogant and hardened with pride, He was disposed from his royal throne and stripped of his glory, and he becomes a beast. He sends him out to the, and he becomes a beast. But you know what Nebuchadnezzar did? He decided to change his heart, and God restored him to his kingdom. It says that Daniel told him in a dream and asked him to change his heart, became a beast, but later he had a change of heart and the Lord restored him to his throne. Ezekiel 36:26 says, "And I will give you a new heart, and I will put a new spirit in you, and I will take your stony, stubborn heart and give you a tender, responsive heart." So if your heart has become a heart of stone, mostly that starts happening because you start believing that God is good from the lies of the enemy, and it changes everything. And then Hannah had a broken heart. But you know what the Bible says? She was sad about her broken heart because she couldn't have a child. I've had a sad heart. I've had a broken heart. Sometimes there's a broken relationship. When my dad suddenly passed away when I was 16 and he had a heart attack and he was suddenly gone, I had a broken heart. I had a sad heart for a long time. But I knew the Lord. It's like that song that says, when the winds blew, when the storms came and the winds blew, my house was built on you. And so at 16, I'd been in a good family. I'd been in a good church. So when that storm broke my heart, I was able to do this. Psalm 34:18. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. Many of you may have lost someone close to you, a broken relationship. Many of you probably have had you ladies had a miscarriage. Maybe you've even had a child pass away. That to me would be the biggest broken heart of a life. And yet, he's near to the brokenhearted. And it says in Psalm 147:3, it says, he heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. But the enemy would like to leave you broken. And we're not going to do it. We're not going to do it. And then there's the steadfast heart. What a great heart. What a great heart to be steadfast. Being steadfast isn't easy. It takes perseverance. But Daniel in Daniel 1:8 says, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. If we are going to have a steadfast heart in God, we must be determined to obey his word. Thank you, all of you young people. You can take your heart and go sit down, maybe give them to Pastor Kimmy. I want to talk to the parents, the grandparents, for a moment as someone could come to the keyboard. You need to help guard your children's hearts. If they could guard their own heart and didn't need you, they would be born in, here's the keys to the car, and just go enjoy yourself. God appointed you as their help to guard them. You know, the whole church is the church is a family, and everyone has to help guard. You children's workers, you youth workers, when you see something or hear something that you know they're not being guarded, you need to speak up. We're here to help each other. We experience life together. We have to help each other. And so parents, you need to be a help. You know, when you say, we're not going to do that, we're not going to go to that movie, we're not going to read that book, we're not going to play that game, and your kids go, aw, but all the other kids are doing it. You stand your ground. You have to help them guard their heart. Now, kids, the Bible says in Proverbs 20:11, listen up, kids. You listening? Everybody say, all the kids say yes. Okay, listen up real strong, because this is scripture, Proverbs 20:11. Even a child is known by their actions, whether it is pure and right. You are not to just depend upon your parents to tell you everything to do. You have to guard your own heart. And when your parents are guarding you and you don't understand, you have to be obedient, because they're there to help you guard your heart. So we're both responsible. Children and youth, you're responsible on your own. Adults, we're responsible to help them do that. When they are, you know, my daughter was so hurt and offended when she was 9 years old at Kings Maui. And you know what? I was mad too. And I wanted to go punch that leader in the face. Believe it or not, this sweet little Kelly. I was super mad and super hurt. And you know, us parents, when our kids get hurt, we're more hurt than they are. And I knew to keep her from getting a heart of stone and hating God and hating the church, which many of her friends do today, because the parent didn't help teach how to guard that heart and keep it soft. I had to work hard to forgive. I can't just tell her to forgive. I have to do it too. And how do you do that? You have to teach it. Today I'm struggling with that. You don't want to go, and yes, I did go talk to the leader. And praise God, the leader was repentive. Because if the leader hadn't been repentive, I would have found another place for them to be. But the leader had a soft heart, and the leader was like, oh my word, I didn't realize that what I said so damaged your daughter. Please forgive me. And I taught her to forgive. And, you know, sometimes even younger, you have to teach forgiveness, but you have to do it too. If your heart is hard, if your heart is broken, then you can't teach them. So you have to help yourself to do that. There are some things that you might be passing on to your kids, because out of your heart, your mouth speaks. So we're going to just run through them real fast. Are you passing on to your children and the youth negative talk or great faith? Are you passing on fear and anxiety or trust in the Lord? Is your offense becoming your children's offense? Or have you taught them how to forgive? Is your depression being passed on, a generational thing, that maybe your kids would have never dealt with depression, but because you haven't got set free of your depression, now they've learned it. They might not even be depressed, but they learned how. We've got to get free. Or are you passing on the joy of the Lord? Are you passing on gossip? Or are you passing on encouragement and building up the saints daily? Are you passing on sin? Or are you passing on righteousness? We have a choice, and we need the Holy Spirit's help. We have to have the Holy Spirit's help. Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy 1:14, guard the deposit that was entrusted in you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit that lives in you. He hasn't left us on our own. He says, guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit. So when things happen, you go to the Holy Spirit and you ask for help. I need help to overcome this. I want to help my kids guard their heart, but my own heart is broken. My own heart is hurt. My own heart is offended. I'm not wholehearted, and I don't want to pass that on to the children. So I want it to be healed and to be fixed. And that prayer, our prayer tonight, is Psalm 51:10, where David said, create in me a clean heart. Other versions say a pure heart. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. I want a strong heart. I want a steadfast heart. I've had all kinds of things happen to me that I could have a stony heart, that I could have a broken heart. And there are reasons why you have a stony heart or a broken heart, but we have to let the Holy Spirit work on us. And with children, you have to work on it quickly. You can't let time go by and let it become hard. There's always hope, though. We saw that. King Nebuchadnezzar, he had a stony heart, and he turned his life over to the Lord. We're going to ask ourselves some questions tonight. If you can, wherever that keyboard is, play it louder. So, hallelujah. In closing, we're going to ask ourselves, first of all, parents and grandparents, aunt and uncles, church family, that you're going to make a commitment to guard those that the Lord has entrusted to your care. And kids and youth, you're going to make a commitment that your actions, that you're going to guard your own heart. We talked about the Holy Spirit today and how the Holy Spirit, there's a feeling that comes upon you and your heart might start pounding. You might get a funny sick feeling in your stomach. You're not sick. You're not having an anxiety attack. It's the Holy Spirit telling you, get away from that situation. Stop reading that book. Stop playing that video game. Stop watching that movie. The Holy Spirit is trying to guard your heart so the enemy can't take you from the kingdom of light. So you must stand and guard your heart. Now, some of you growing up, your heart wasn't guarded. And so you have situations right now that the Holy Spirit is talking to you right now because nobody helped you guard it and you didn't know. But tonight is a new night. It's a new day. It's a new day. Tonight your heart can be healed from whatever it was that you weren't helped to guard it. Now also ask yourself a question. What's happening in your family that you're not guarding? The Holy Spirit is maybe convicting you right now of some things. I prayed and prayed for this service that the Holy Spirit would convict us of things. You know, on this plane ride coming here, the gentleman where I was on the aisle, the gentleman sitting right in this seat opened his computer and was watching a movie. And it was the most vile, disgusting thing my eyes has ever seen. And you know, it's hard when it's in your view. And the plane was full, or I would have just got up and moved any empty seat there was. And the gentleman beside me was telling him his life story. And so I told him, I said, I don't mean to be rude, but I'm not going to be defiled by that guy's movie. So I'm going to close my eyes. I'm still listening to your story. I'll still respond to you here and there. I'd already shared the gospel with him. And I'm gonna shut my eyes. I might even fall asleep, but I will not be defiled by that guy's movie. I had to guard my eye gate because once I see that and I become defiled, it affects my heart. And then I can start having a heart issue that I do not want. And so we guard. The Holy Spirit will help you. I mean, I didn't even need the Holy Spirit on that one. I just knew that. I'm just like, no, that's a no. Gonna heart guard our heart. Would all of you please stand? And I'm gonna call you to the front. And I know you guys have altar workers and such. And I don't care what age you are. Some of you may have not given your heart to the Lord. Some of you may need to give your heart to the Lord. And before I call you up, we're gonna give our heart to the Lord. Some of you may need a healed heart. Maybe you have a broken heart. It's going to be healed tonight. Some of you may need to start seeking the Lord with all your heart. It takes some effort. Can't be lazy. But this church, man, this is a great church. And you people are so fashioned to win this whole state for Christ. You got a brand new building that's going to be, I mean, I don't want to say it's going to be too small because that seems like, oh, you got to be kidding me. But you just need more everywhere because you're fashioned for that. but guard your heart, because the enemy will try to rob you from this house. He'll try to take you from this vision. He's been trying to take me out every time I came for kids camp. Something happens. It's just crazy, because he knows your kids are powerful. They're not waiting till they grow up. They're living for God now. So let's give our heart. It says in Romans 10:9, to confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord, and you will be saved. It is as simple as that. So we're going to confess as a church body right now. But if this is your first time asking Jesus to be your Lord and Savior, there is a table out there, a place to go to say, I have accepted Jesus as my Savior, and I need to know what the next steps are. It's called next steps, right? I need to know what the next steps are, because you don't want to get into the kingdom of light and not know what to do next. You got to know this stuff. You got to know where to go. So let's pray right now. If you'll pray after me, say, Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sin and be my Lord and Savior. Help me to live for you. Help me to guard my heart. I believe that you are Lord, that you are alive, and you are working on my behalf, and that you love me. Help me to live for you all the days of my life. Amen.
Well, I hope you were encouraged by God's word. Thank you again for listening to King's Alaska Podcast. God bless you. For more great content, go to kcalaska.com, and may God's face shine upon you and give you peace.